Hi all, this is Day and Ari with Windchill Time. Thank you for joining us. It is September 30th, almost the end of September, about 4:30 p.m.
Awesome.
How are you doing, Ari? We'll get into that more later.
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm holding the Bitcoin baby who suddenly has ranky baby breath.
Bad breath.
I think it's happened because we started feeding him non-milk food.
What's Windchill Time about?
Oh, Windchill Time?
Yeah.
Funny you ask, honey. Windchill Time is a non-technical, fun, informative podcast about Bitcoin, money, and life for parents and busy working folks who are curious about Bitcoin, blockchains, and crypto assets. Day and myself and our guests talk about these new evolutionary technologies and what they touch in all of our lives. Because what part of your life does money not touch?
Exactly. That's what I say all the time. I'm Day, and I'm your co-host here. I used to work on wide area networks a whole lot, which are high-speed private internet works for big companies.
And hi, I'm Ari. I'm the chair of the Cascadia Blockchain Council, powered by the WTIA, which is the Washington Technology Industry Association. It represents 1,100 technology companies, everyone from Portland all the way up to Vancouver, BC, creating one collective voice for technology companies as we collaborate and coordinate with regulators, policymakers, innovators, and investors. And full disclosure, or disclaimer.
Disclosures and disclaimers is the way I like to roll.
Yeah. The WTI is one of our sponsors.
Since I'm a little short of breath, which is an issue that I'll go into in the main segment here, you're going to be reading off all the sponsors here. You already covered WTIA, so the other three are.
Yes. Thank you to our sponsors who allow us to do this twice weekly on Tuesdays and Fridays. In addition to the WTI, we are sponsored by CoinMe, the fastest on-ramp from cash to Bitcoin for people all around the United States. They are powered by the CoinStar ATM machines, and they also have a private client services.
Did you hear that?
That
the dollar thing went off is when you were talking about CoinStar. That's awesome. Keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt.
CoinMe also has private client services, which is sort of a talk to a human for all your crypto and Bitcoin needs. We're also sponsored by FreshChalk. That's FreshChalk.com. And they're your personal friends recommendations engine. Check them out for recommendations on services and products in your local area. We're also sponsored by Dragon Chain. Dragon Chain is a local Bellevue company. It's a blockchain as a service company. So if you're a developer or a business, please turn that off. If you're a developer or a business, you can set up your team or company to be blockchain ready within a day. It's a very fast way to learn about blockchain using the languages you already know. Node, Java, Python, all of those can be used to code up a smart contract. And you don't even have to know Solidity.
All right. My device is on silent. I'm sorry about that. Events, I think next week, or is it this Friday?
Yes, this Friday, October 4th, we have our 2-year birthday or anniversary for Dragon Chain, the sponsor that I just mentioned. So they'll be having an open house to celebrate their 2-year milestone. So the invites are out. Feel free to join and check out this great local blockchain company. In addition, on Wednesday and Thursday this week, we have the Cascadia Innovation Corridor. And so we'll have different government officials, we'll have different innovators, different people from all walks in all different sorts of industries coming together with the goal of raising the profile of the Cascadia region. So naturally, as chair of the Cascadia Blockchain Council, we will be there working on ways to collaborate. We'll have a special focus on supply chain. And so we'll be working with different supply chain leaders and government and innovators to figure out ways that we can raise the profile using blockchain technology of supply chain in the Cascadia region. Another thing that's coming up in the month of October is October 22nd. CoinMe, one of our sponsors, will be having a webinar that'll be hosted on October 22nd. Information is at the meetup Blockchain Underground, Seattle Blockchain Underground, if you'd like to learn more. And then at the end of the month is Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. So we'll be there for Money 2020, Coin Agenda Global, and WCC. So if you'd like to meet up or want to know more information about coordinating while we're there, I would definitely like to hear you. And the Bitcoin baby is now officially jumping up and down.
Holy cow. Thank you for holding him while I'm partially debilitated. And you are holding him as he's jumping up and down like crazy. So thank you for that.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to jump into some Satoshi math right now. I checked my Blockfolio app, Blockfolio app, a moment ago. Bitcoin was at $8,272. $8,272 and holding steady in the low eights there. Yes, we had some moments where it was in high sevens.
Really?
Yes, and so that was a little bit harrowing. No one knows where the price of Bitcoin is going to go.
Up or down.
Nobody. Not even Satoshi Nakamoto knows where he's going.
But it means Satoshis are on sale, so you get more Satoshis for less dollars, right?
Exactly. So you decimalize that into eight places, and you get 0.00008272. And then you wind up getting 12,088 Satoshis per U.S. dirty fiat dollar.
Woohoo! Stacking sats.
Absolutely, yes. So the main topic today, I just have a little one just because, again, I am a little debilitated due to weekend activity on Saturday, so I'm going to keep it kind of short. I'm going to be talking about the Cash App. It goes along the main thread of there being more and more and more on-ramps from fiat money, which is money issued by governments, into Bitcoin. And so I'm going to go over my experience today purchasing some Bitcoin on the Cash App. And then Ari?
I'll just talk about a meeting I had with a unnamed investor today, and it might represent some other people's views out there. So, you know,
some other investors maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, just learning about what that experience was like, and, you know, so we're all learning and we're all growing as we continue down this path into the future.
So it's the ever continuing story of raising funds and raising funds as an entrepreneur, but then you're talking about the other side of the table, the person hearing the pitch and the one writing the check.
No, I'm actually going to talk about his perceptions of Bitcoin and blockchain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's roll Dom with his disclosures, disclaimers. Thank you, Dom.
Hi, y'all. This is Dom from CoinMe, or you might know me from The Blockchain Minute, your daily show for the most important story on the blockchain. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Security and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn, or zombie, or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of this known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion that may be found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks, Dom, for reading the disclosures, disclaimers. I still have to queue up the brand new one that you sent me, so I appreciate that. Again, happy end of September, y'all. It is September 30th, Monday, on this recording day.
And it's sunny. Yay to sunshine.
Yep.
Hey, so Day, what happened to you? Why are you so
debilitated.
Debilitated and injured because it's...
Debilitated and injured because I was having some fun with some of my old telecom buddies, my telecom jockeys, as I like to refer to them.
Uh-huh.
I was at the UW football game this past Saturday.
Woohoo, football.
UW won. I didn't see the final score, but I'm pretty darn sure they won. And it was against USC.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to be carrying some nachos. It had all kinds of awesome melted cheese and jalapenos.
Nachos.
So I was carrying my nachos, and instead of walking down the aisle that we're sitting on, I decided to take a circuitous route up other various bleacher seats. And so these bleacher seats have backs on them. And so I was trying to navigate walking up, and then I lost my balance.
You were trying to feel young and spring chickeny.
Maybe. And then so next thing I knew, the hand that had the nachos in them went up in the air. It's I can't laugh. It really hurts. And then the nachos and the jalapenos and the sauce went flying everywhere.
Did it land on people? Was it raining nachos? It was raining nachos at people.
Oh, God. Don't make me laugh. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Well, that's hilarious.
I ate it hard in front of everybody. And I promptly picked myself up. I said, everything's okay. Went and rebought my nachos.
You rebought your nachos.
I rebought my nachos.
Did you hit your head?
And then I walked back. I didn't hit my head, thank goodness.
God.
But so what I realized in this experience of embarrassment and humility and maybe a little bit of humiliation is that this is probably what it's like to have a very large pregnancy in the third trimester.
You think?
Because, listen. So I can basically hardly move.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you tell me, agree, disagree, or something else, okay?
Yeah. When you're in your third trimester of being pregnant, yes, can barely move.
So coughing is impossible. It feels like being stabbed with Crocodile Dundee's knife, the big knife that he had in the movie.
Uh-huh.
It feels like I'm being stabbed in the
No, that is not with pregnancy. You just feel like if you laugh too hard, you're going to pee or poop.
Okay, so mine's worse then. Crocodile Dundee's knife is worse than pee or poop.
Yeah.
Sneezing is excruciating. So I have to suppress, like you just saw, I have to suppress all my sneezes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't sneeze.
You know what, honey? This is right after having a baby. Right after having a baby is where you have the excruciating pain with coughing and sneezing.
There you go.
Yes.
So because I can't sneeze, I can't blow my nose.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just have to, again, let the snot just like run out of my nose.
Ooh,
I can't.
Sexy.
It's not impossible. It's not possible for me to blow my nose. So I'm having issues breathing. So I can't really control my breathing as much as I would want to.
Oh, that's pregnancy.
On this show here today.
Uh-huh.
I can't bend over.
Oh, yeah. Can't bend over or see your feet. Yep.
And so stairs, very difficult going up and down.
Yep.
Very difficult.
Both third trimester pregnancy and after pregnancy.
And I'm just basically subjected to frequent, extremely sharp crocodile knife, Crocodile Dundee pain, just randomly because the muscle will seize up. I don't think I fractured a rib because I can kind of push around and it doesn't feel that bad.
Uh-huh.
But there's definitely some major bruising going on down there.
Oh, that's what it felt like after C-section. Yeah.
Getting up from a laying down position is pretty much a monumental ordeal.
Yeah, that's pretty much for both third trimester and post C-section
and
natural birth. Yeah,
and then peeing and pooping, really hard, like really really hard.
Oh no, actually that's easy in the third trimester. It just comes out. Post baby, it's quite an ordeal.
Oh man, so I think that there is a way to simulate. The conclusion of this is that I do think there is a way for men to virtually experience what it's like to be pregnant, very painfully pregnant.
Oh.
And so if you, I don't think
you
they should
carry the
get
nachos.
Kicked.
You don't need the nachos.
I don't think don't carry the nachos. I don't think you should carry. I don't think you should get kicked. But if you get punched super crazy hard in the lower rib cage,
yeah, that hurts a lot.
I bet you the lasting effects of that would make guys think twice about the pain that their wives are going through when they're pregnant. Make them empathize just a little bit more.
Yeah, I've been punched in the face and in the ribs.
Oh my!
It hurts. Yeah.
And then if I want to scream in pain, which I've wanted to through the night.
Yeah.
So you're far away from me.
Yeah.
I can't even scream, because what does it take to scream? You have to take a deep breath in and like exhale it really loud and fast. I can't even scream because that's even more painful on top of the pain that I'm already feeling from the Crocodile Dundee
knife. I don't think
you're
a good candidate for having babies.
No.
Or
I'm very
pregnant.
Pain tolerant. I am emotionally and physically extremely pain tolerant.
Oh, you did have the motorcycle accident.
Yes. And I did an Ironman too.
Oh my God. Yes.
15 hours. 15 hours. All right. You were going to talk about the...
Oh yeah. So when I said I want to talk about the investor meeting, I wasn't talking about fundraising as an entrepreneur from investors. Well, actually, that's a really good one too. But what I was going to refer to is talking to a very well-known established investor in the local area. And I was talking to him about his interest in Bitcoin and blockchain. And he said, the quote that I heard today was, The federal government will never, ever, ever, ever let go of its control over money, because that's how it controls people. And so I don't believe Bitcoin will ever get the traction it needs, especially in the United States.
So I wasn't there at that meeting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being that conflict rife conversations are not quite my thing. Mm-hmm. I know you did try to give out the standard arguments as to why the United States will be taken along for this ride. Mm-hmm. And all those objections to his objection were mm-hmm. denied. Mm-hmm. And so what I thought of was the fact that there is only a growing, mm-hmm. not a diminishing, but a growing number of politicians in Washington, D.C. and all the state governments who understand, as they learn more, that it is not possible to stop Bitcoin. The software is free. Uh-huh. As long as you have an internet connection and a computing device,
yeah.
you can run a node.
Yeah.
You can run the software.
Yeah.
It is free software.
Yeah.
And so as people learn, they'll get to the final conclusion that everybody else gets to eventually, which is that Bitcoin is not stoppable. Whether the people in the US government will go along with this, that is the big, fat, gray area that no one knows how it's going to go. But it's most likely other countries are going to basically adopt Bitcoin first.
Mm-hmm.
And then as that population and those quantities of dirty fiat money get swallowed up by Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
then at the near the end, maybe near the end of our lives in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you're basically just going to have maybe the U.S. dollar and then Bitcoin in the world.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean,
but no one knows.
Only the future knows the future.
Exactly.
Is the conclusion of our discussion today with an investor.
Well, what do you think, Gary? What do you think?
I think it's going to be really hard to control Bitcoin. I mean, if a country that's communist like China cannot control Bitcoin,
and they have a completely authoritarian regime.
Yes. The government has full control over its people and everything inside it. And they were not able to control it and stop it. They've, you know, had their different ways of handling it. I don't know how the United States is going to figure out how to become suddenly authoritarian and control it. You know, maybe, the future doesn't have to be only one currency for all across the entire globe. There might be, you know, a few or a bunch of winners. And so maybe that's what's going to happen in the future. We don't know. But I think Bitcoin is a huge leg up for a lot of people in the world. And a lot of these people in the world, like I think the number is 4 billion? 4 billion people need an alternative to chaos. They need something that they can rely on, especially as a store of value.
Non-inflationary store of value, something that won't get deteriorated away by the powers that be.
Yeah, irresponsible, undisciplined, irresponsible powers to be. And so, yeah, for like the other 4 billion that are not privileged and are not so blessed to be living in the United States, because in the grand scheme of things, it's much better to be in the United States than a lot of other places. We have a lot to be thankful for here.
Or other developed nations, know, besides the United States, yes.
So, you know, when you look at it globally, I think it does make quite a bit of sense. And from sitting here in our very privileged area, home, upbringing, worldview, it's hard to understand. I can for sure see that too, because I've been very lucky to be having had so many opportunities myself, thanks to, you know, so many sponsors and great experiences and a great education.
Mentors. Yes.
Yeah, a great husband.
Aww. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just took 4 ibuprofen, y'all, with my Chick-fil-A lunch that Ari so kindly got for me in Bellevue. Yes.
Well, Dave was looking so sad, yes. And so I thought I'd do something that was
I was laying in bed all day long.
For his North Carolina heart.
Let's see here. Okay, so
you want to talk about
thoughts?
The main segment, yeah.
Well, yours was part of the main segment too, but to share a way that listeners out there can support us in an indirect fashion, we have the Cash App. So
woo-hoo.
As people download the Cash App using the Windchill Time referral code,
yeah.
we get $5, and then that means we can buy 1/4 of a lunch, because lunches now downtown cost $20 instead of $5. But
buy a Happy Meal. For the lentil.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Happy Meals are
$5
or less.
$4.79.
Okay.
Ooh, baby rank bath.
So today I was playing around in bed because I couldn't move around anywhere. And I said, hey, we're well below $9,000 on Bitcoin. I should practice buying some sats, aka Bitcoin, on the Cash App. So I went on there. And then, so I already had some dirty US fiat dollars loaded in there. So I said, hey, let's buy $25 worth of Bitcoin. So I looked at the price that the Cash App quotes, and it was at $8,224.
So it's close?
Very close. Well, it's the same as a spot market.
Oh, okay.
What's a spot market, you
might
say?
Yeah, what's a spot market?
So the spot market is whatever price that your favorite app or service is going to be quoting you what the price of Bitcoin is right now. Because it is so global and unregulated, there are many, many different places and ways to get the price of Bitcoin. And so spot market just means at any point in time in the world, wherever you ask how much is Bitcoin, that is the spot market price. So you can sound really, really cool and hip with your friends and say, hey, I was just checking the spot price of Bitcoin, and then see if anybody, see if anybody like looks at you funny or calls you out or asks you,
oh, let me practice.
What's the spot market?
Hey, I was just checking the spot market price of Bitcoin the other day.
Yeah, there you go. So it was $82.24 when I was making the purchase on the Cash App. Uh-huh. And when I went to finally lock in the purchase, this is where it gets kind of funny. And I'm not too big on the way they've done it.
Yeah.
But at the time of purchase, when I clicked the button,
yeah,
the price goes from $82.24 to $83.29.
Oh, so they added
That's
$100
a difference
spread.
Of $105, okay, which is known as the spread.
Yeah.
But then you go into the detail screen of the purchase, and it says $0 fee. Yeah, so it's a little bit sneaky, but
I
totally get why a business needs to do that, because it is so volatile.
Yeah.
They have to build in some sort of buffer in there to be able to not basically lose their shirt on every single transaction. And and as a percentage-wise, mm-hmm, I mean, it's only winds up being 1.277% total. I'll call it commission, but it's not a commission. It's just kind of the
trading fee.
You could call it a trading fee, but then on the screen it says the fee is zero.
Yeah,
so that's why it's all very obfuscated. It's all very cloudy.
They should say we charge a 1% fee, and that's, you know, what, 5 cents? Everyone feels good about that.
Yeah.
Why aren't they just upfront about it? Why hide it in a spread, especially for $5, right?
$25.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
There's definitely ways that I personally, as a single consumer, want to see these kind of things presented and done. But I'm sure that they have tons of data scientists and, you know, mountains of data saying that this is the best way to present it. This is the best way to execute on it and make it be beneficial to us, but also be not too painful for the consumer who ultimately pays all the, you know, the commissions and fees. So it is what it is.
Okay.
Interesting thing, though, the lowest commission rate that I have seen on Twitter, though, like people calling out, is
0.15%. 0.15%?
That is not a typo. 0.15%.
So that's 0.0015?
There you go, right there. 0.0015, and you multiply that times however much Bitcoin you're buying, that's the commission. So it's really funny. This is more math numbers, but this isn't so painful. At paying 1.277% versus paying 0.15%, that's an 8.5x difference. So that's 8.5 times more commission, you know, at 1.2% versus 1.227% versus 0.15%. So anyway, at the end of the day, I mean, 1% on $100 is a dollar. And so most people don't think too much about, you know, paying a dollar on something or
for,
you know,
a service.
So,
yeah.
For services. So it's not egregious. It's not horrible.
Yeah, at least they're not charging $10 or $100 for $100.
Yeah, exactly. So there are tons of different ways out there to get into Bitcoin. One of them, again, is our sponsor, and they are CoinMe, direct cash US dollar to Bitcoin ATM service. And then, so that's all I got today.
All right. So how do people use Cash App or download Cash App with your referral link?
So I'm going to put it in the show notes. I'll put it at the very top of the show notes today, the referral link. And so basically what happens is they download it, and then they install the app, create an account, and then there's a referral code that needs to be input into the app. and you try this out today.
Yep. So
and
what's the referral code?
So the referral code is...
And the, instead of using the referral code, I guess if you just wanted to send cash, you can always send it to $windshield21, which is the same as our Twitter handle, at windshield21, WINDSHIELD, windshield21. Otherwise, the referral code is...
It is hard. It's WPJKQMV. That's why I was saying it was just going to be in the show notes. But it's a whole bunch of letters, and you have to put the code into the app after you sign up. And then after you send your first $5, then you help out Ari and Day and Lentil and Quinoa in being able to pay our mortgage. Yay! Pay our mortgage and feed our children. And maybe buy a beer every once in a while.
Or nachos.
God, I can't laugh.
Nachos.
Okay. So that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah, that's it for me too. Appreciate your ratings, reviews. Oh, in the verbal form.
Oh, yeah. What? Well, the action form. But as a preview, so we have Justin Wu.
Oh, yeah.
At Hackerpreneur coming in tomorrow. He's going to have lunch with us, I think, maybe. And then we're going to do a show with him, discover maybe what he's seen in the crypto space, Bitcoin space, but also in the growth marketing space.
Yeah.
And that show will come out this Friday.
Yeah. So we actually met back at Launch Festival, Jason Calacanis's festival in San Francisco, when he was doing his first startup. I don't know if it was the first startup, but the first startup that I met him with. And then he's a growth marketer. He's been traveling around the world to various blockchain crypto conferences. He's head of CoinState.
CoinState, yes.
And so they do a lot of media marketing for various crypto blockchain companies. And he's been up and down the West Coast a lot too, hosting a lot of events, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle. And so we just wanted to catch up with him and learn more about him and share with you his incredible journey.
Yes, awesome. Okay, so we're at the end of our show today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Really appreciate your time. And then we'll close it out with the action verbs of rate, review, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, every week we're getting better and better. And so always appreciate feedback. I love it when I run into people and they're like, hey, we listened to your podcast. So always learning. I save every single one of the reviews that people write as a screenshot. And it just makes me so happy. So really appreciate it. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. Windshield Time. Follow us on Twitter at WindshieldTime21. And check out the Cash App. And make sure that you use our referral code so we both get $5 each.
And I am. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get $5 and we get $5 too.
Yep.
Yeah. Upon first use.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. Together we rise.
Be nice to each other out there, y'all. Bye.
This is J.R. Pennypacker from Do We Cheat 'Em and How? None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guests or its hosts is to be taken as financial or legal or psychological or dietary advice or a solicitation of any kind. Participate in a conservative or risky or even speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening, you acknowledge that the host, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors or legal scholars for that matter of any kind, but they're simply humans and not sentient intergalactic life forms that are aliens. No, not at all. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, future of the space-time continuum of the known universe are purely ironic and coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
Did you just let out that really stinky fart?
Might be his breath. You might have some ranky baby breath, man. How's my levels?
Good.
How's my levels? Okay, good. Thank you.
Baby breath. You have milk in your
Frankie baby Beth from the Bitcoin baby on TikTok. All right.
Oh, that's Frankie baby breath.
Very ranky baby breath.
What happened to his milk breath? What happened to his milk breath? We need to make another baby so I can have another milk breath baby.
No.
Milk breath.
No.
Oh, look at his breath is wrong. What happened?
He doesn't know anything's wrong. He has no idea what's going on.
Oh, ranky baby breath.